Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, found on page 1227 in the Pew Bible. And children, if you want to draw a picture, you just might draw a picture of a boat on a sea with some waves coming upon the boat. Luke 8, beginning with verse 16, and going on down to verse 25. Jesus is here, speaking to the multitudes. Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed. But he puts it on a lampstand, and are those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care how you listen. Whoever has, to him shall more be given. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Now it came about on one of those days that he and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended upon the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. And they came to him and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" There is a sermon outline found as an insert in the bulletin. Sometimes the right question can help clarify or put into proper perspective an issue that may be before you. I think of that a number of years ago, on October 28, 1980, the only debate between then President Carter and Ronald Reagan. At the end of the debate, Carter gave his summary, and then as Reagan gave his summary, he asked one question. Really a very simple question, but it really crystallized, I think, in many people's minds the issue that was before our nation. The question was very simply, as you head out to the polls, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And for the majority of people, they considered the issue, they said no. They voted Carter out, the Democrats out, and Reagan in, and the Republicans in. It was a very simple question. But it crystallized in the minds of many Americans the choice they had. And they voted for change. At the end of these verses, we read of a similar type of question. a question which, if answered correctly, will crystallize to the disciples and to us who their teacher is, how they should view him. Now keep in mind, as we've already gone through Luke, they've already seen some very remarkable things. That this was no ordinary preacher going around preaching in synagogues. Peter's mother-in-law, one of the inner circle, had already been healed. There's a man with a withered hand who Jesus spoke. His hand was healed in the synagogue. There was a slave of the centurion who was able to be healed at a distance. There was a son of a widow who was raised from the dead. And so they'd seen all that, and yet they're asking this question in verse 25, who then is this? Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? It's a simple but searching question. And the reason it's so important is because this Jesus doesn't fit into any category that they're used to. He's not like the preachers that have been going around. He's not even like the Old Testament prophets that they have read about. There's something even more unique and more different than the prophets. It was the most important question that they would face in their life. Who is this? And a few chapters later, they'll come up with the right answer. Who is this? It's the most important question you or I will ever face. It's the most important question that anyone around us will ever face. Now, the answer isn't hard. If we consider the facts that we know of our Jesus. And that's our theme. We're to realize that Jesus is God incarnate. God coming in human flesh. And because he is who he is, therefore we're to listen to him and to do his work. And by doing so, we shine forth into the spiritual darkness. To listen and do and shine forth. So the first point, who then is this? Who is this one who is with him in the boat? It is God in human flesh. God incarnate. We can see that as we look first of all at the situation. Jesus and his disciples are in a boat. They're trying to cross over the Sea of Galilee. And we're told here that a fierce gale of wind descended upon them. And the words that are used to describe this incident in the Gospels give the sense that there's something utterly violent taking place on the sea. Matthew, as he describes it, uses the word that normally is translated earthquake. It seems as if the whole lake was shaking, as if an earthquake was overtaking it. Here it's a gale, a fierce gale, or really we could translate it a hurricane of wind. A very strong word, meaning this was a furious storm that came upon them, not like even a normal storm. And we perhaps have been down to Lake Monroe and think about it, and it's just a little nice lake to be out on and sail a boat. We may not realize how tremendous storms on lakes or seas can be. Back in November 18th, 1958, there was a ship called Carl Bradley, and it sailed the Great Lakes. It was up until 2 months before that, the biggest ship on the Great Lakes. It was 623 feet long and could carry 16,000 tons of limestone. And yet it was hit repeatedly by 40-foot waves on Lake Michigan. And it went down because of the storm that developed. A few months earlier, there was a bigger ship that was launched to sail the Great Lakes. It was called the Edmund Fitzgerald. It was 729 feet long. It carried 26,000 tons of iron ore. It was three stories high. And you would think that it would be safe. But again, in November, now of 1975, as a storm developed on Lake Superior, it was hit by three rogue waves. And that mighty ship snapped in two and went down in just a few seconds. Massive waves destroyed that ship. And the Sea of Galilee, although smaller, had the right geography, the right topography for the same thing to happen. It's 600 feet below sea level. There's some sharp hills around it. And in the cool of the evening, it would often be that the wind would come rushing down and would cause a huge storm on the lake. And that seems to be what's happening here. As Jesus and his disciples are out on this lake, the winds come whipping down. And there's a massive storm. And children, if you drew the waves, you need to draw them bigger than the boat, because that would have been what was the case. There was these huge waves that were swamping the boat or bringing it down. And Peter and some of the other disciples were experienced fishermen, experienced sailors. But they would have known instantly they were in trouble. The boat was sinking and they couldn't do anything about it. They would perish in that violent storm. But B, when awakened, Jesus rebuked the wind and the surging waves. And that word rebuked is the same word that's used in chapter 4. Of how Jesus rebuked the fever and Peter's mother-in-law. And how he rebuked the unclean spirits. And it's interesting that it's used in those three situations of demonic activity, of disease in the body, and of disorder in the natural realm that Jesus rebuked. And things were set right. Because ultimately, as we think about those things, they're ultimately the result, either directly or indirectly, of sin. If there was no sin, there wouldn't be any disease, there wouldn't be any disorder in the natural order, and there wouldn't be any demonic activity. And by rebuking them, Jesus is showing that he has authority over all these areas of life. And to the amazement of these seasoned sailors, the storm immediately calmed. It must have been very eerie. One moment to have a raging storm, next moment calm and silence. And see, we need to see the purpose in this. The purpose was really to deepen the disciples' faith, so that they would look and understand who Jesus was, and that they would be deepened in their understanding and their faith and their appreciation of God's grace to them in Christ. Look at the disciples' response in verse 25. It says they were fearful, they were amazed, and they were questioning. The first two, it talks about them being fearful and being amazed, is the typical response to the divine presence. Whether we think about it on Mount Sinai and the giving of the law, and there was a mention in the responsive reading of how the people were afraid. That we see in Isaiah 6 and other places, when you come into the presence of God, there's that mixing of fear and amazement, of awe and respect. And as those disciples ask that question, you know, who is this? Who then is this? They really should have already known the answer. As they sang the psalm just as we would have, they would have sung Psalm 107 that we sang. that tells about how the Lord stills the storm. Psalm 48 that we sang, that really makes that same point, that he can destroy because he causes the storms on the seas. Likewise, Psalm 65:7 talks about how God stills the raging of the seas. We'll be singing in a few moments Psalm 89, verse 9, that makes really that same point. Psalm 104:7 talks about how Jehovah, the Lord, rebukes the waters. So at least five times in the Psalms, it's very clear. It's God, it's Jehovah, it's the covenant God, it's the God of the Bible, it's the God with whom Israel is in covenant, is the one who controls the seas, who controls the storms on the seas. It causes them to rise and causes them to be calm. And so it's clear. It must be God. And so who is this? It is God in human flesh, God incarnate, who is standing before them, who's sleeping in the front of the boat. And just as the disciples look to him in the midst of the storm, and they're brought safely through the storm, as we would consider the storms in our life, we're to be reassured in the same way. We look to God in the flesh, to Jesus Christ, who's going to bring us through every storm we face. And why? For the very same reason. So that we would grow in our faith. So that we would be more content with Christ. So that we would learn how to look to Him in the difficult situations of life. Consider for a moment the economic turmoil going on in our nation and around the world. You know, it's fast developing. It's been devastating. Why? Well, I suspect part of what God is wanting to teach our nation is that we need to repent. We need to turn away from our crass materialism, relying on how much we have, relying on our 401ks for retirement and all the rest, and once again be reminded that our safety is in God. We need to be looking to Him. We need to be seeking Christ first and foremost. I wonder if it's a lesson that we'll learn. It's a lesson that Christians should learn and should know. Well, the second point is there's a second question, which also helps to clear up our thinking and crystallize it. It's at the beginning of verse 25 where Jesus asks his disciples, "Where is your faith?" Now, that's probably a mild rebuke. Saying to them, as you've been with me, as you've seen, as you've heard my teaching, you shouldn't have been upset with this storm. You know the power I have. You've seen it demonstrated raising someone from the dead. And it really builds on the previous two sections in verse 18 where he says, take care how you listen. The disciples have been listening to Jesus and his teaching, but have they really been receiving it in? And later on, in response to being told that his mothers and brothers are outside wishing to speak with him, to see him, Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And he's in no way putting down his mother and his family on the cross. Some of his dying breaths are making arrangements for her, so he is concerned and knows of her needs. But the point is that these are to be men of faith. they need to learn how to hear and to act on what they're hearing. To hear the Word of God and to do it. And sometimes it might mean in a storm not being afraid, but trusting in God. That He will see you through that. They need to hear and to do. You might consider a man drowning in a large pool, and you're standing there at the edge of the pool, and you see him, and he's familiar with the pool, and he says, he knows where the life preserver is, and has a rope, and he shouts out to you, just behind you, to your right, is that life preserver. Throw it out to me. Well, the man wants you to do two things. He wants you to listen carefully and then to act. And you have to do those two things, because if you first don't listen carefully, he's going to be in trouble. If instead of the right, you look to the left, and you don't see it, and you begin wandering around, and you go in the locker room, and finally decide, well, hey, my cell phone is back home, I can go and get it, and call 911, and he's going to be in the bottom of the pool before you ever get him any help. But if on the other hand, you hear and don't act, you say, oh yeah, there it is. That's very nice. Doesn't look like it's ever been in the water. And if that's all you do, he's still in trouble. And Jesus is really saying the same thing. For a disciple, you need to listen, pay close attention to what he is saying, and then act on it. And the disciples have been given much information. Enough to know that they are not to be fearful. We have been given even more information as we look at the entire New Testament, the whole recorded writings of his life and of his teaching, to know that we don't need to be afraid, but to be trusting. And you and I must not only listen, but also act. Has God's word impressed upon you that you must forgive others? Then do it. Or has God's word impressed upon you the fact that you need to seek the forgiveness of someone? Will you do that too? Has God's word impressed upon you the fact that you need to stop a certain practice? Then stop it. Has God's word impressed upon you that you should be giving more? Then do it. Has God's word impressed you with the fact that you're to be a witness? And maybe you're called to be a witness to a very specific friend. Then be that witness. Or has God's word impressed upon you that you are to put Him first in all of life? Then do it. Then rearrange your priorities. You must hear and do. The third question we could ask is your light shining so others can see? Because if we do listen carefully and do put into practice what God has said, we will be different. We will be like a light that shines in a dark place. And that's really the description at the very beginning. In verse 16 and 17. That the Christian is to be a lamp set out, shining forth. That as you live according to a different standard, your light which is from Christ, will be seen by others. But as you look at these verses, there's really a couple of warnings. At first, some people don't shine forth. Their lives don't stand out. They're compared to a lamp hidden under a container or put under a bed. And what's it trying to say? Well, if you do those things, it really defeats the purpose of the lamp. The lamp has no value, no usefulness, if it's hidden away. It's not functioning the way it should. And similarly, those who would call themselves Christians, who would not listen to carefully the Word of God, and would not then put it into practice. They're like that useful lamp hidden under the bed. When it comes to God's purpose for you as a Christian, you're not living up to that standard. And it's perhaps a hint in verse 17 that talks about how those things that are hidden are going to be revealed. Perhaps if that's the case, there's something going on below the surface. Perhaps you really aren't believing and trusting in Christ. Because if you are, you should be very desirous of hearing and doing. The second warning is in verse 18, that you really need to act on what you know, or you'll become worse off. Even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. It's the idea of use it or lose it. As you begin maybe understanding the first things about spiritual life, you need to act on it and not delay, not say, well, I'm going to wait until I understand further. Or maybe later in life I'll become more interested. You use it now, or it's going to be taken away. Now, as a professional baseball player named Julio Franco, and he played Major League Baseball into his very late 40s. Didn't quite achieve his goal of being 50 and still playing in the major leagues, but he was very close to it. And some of you who are in your 40s or beyond may wonder, well, how can that be? Well, there were some things that were very definite about what he did. First was his diet. He was big on nutrition. And so while others would be eating donuts and all sorts of things that were set out for them, he would make sure that he would eat only the best and most nutritious things. Second thing is he kept in shape all year round. So when baseball season came around, he was in shape. But the third thing he did is that each and every day, he would spend at least an hour stretching, getting ready to play baseball. And why was that? Well, he knew the older he got, the more he had to stretch and get ready. That he wouldn't dare slide under base unless he knew his muscles had been stretched out. And even to swing a bat properly, his muscles had to be loosened. He knew that he had to use it. That every day, as hard at work as it was, he had to prepare himself if he were to continue to play baseball. Or he'd lose the ability to easily swing a bat or to be able to slide into a base. Well, the same Jesus is really telling us in verse 18 is true in the spiritual realm. If you don't meditate and think and ponder the Word of God, actually put it into practice, maybe without you ever thinking about it, you're going to lose it. You won't be aware that you no longer have that ability to think spiritually. You become hardened my sin. And so the encouragement is when you begin to understand is to keep going, to keep taking those steps. They may be baby steps, but in faith. And if not, you're going to lose. What's the application for today? Let me suggest two. First is how you see Jesus. Do you see Him as God come in human flesh? My daughter this week received a communication saying, well, Jesus, He was just a flawed human being. And that's how many see Him. Maybe a good teacher and all the rest, but no different. You and I need to see and become fully convinced that He was God in the flesh, that He could calm the storm. He could do what no human being could do because He was God incarnate. And second application is because of who He is, then we need to hear and to act. If He's just an extraordinary teacher, then we could sift through what was good and what was bad, what we liked about His teaching and what we didn't like. But we don't have that option. He is God in human form speaking to us. And so we're to hear and hear carefully what He says and then put it into practice in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for this incident where we see Jesus calming the storms. That it points us to one who is more than a man. To one who is God, who has come in the flesh, the God-man. Fully God and fully man. And because of that, then, that we owe Him our allegiance to call Him Master, just as the disciples did, to recognize His words are the words of the living God, that it's not something that we can receive or not receive based on our whims or our wishes or our thoughts. But the living words of the living God that tell us how we're to live and what we're to believe. And Father, help us to act on those words, especially to be men and women of faith, boys and girls of faith, that we realize that no matter what comes in our lives, that we can trust Christ. I pray that each one would do that, and we know that as we do that, we will grow in our faith and grow in our relationship with You. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.